What the organ's mandate is to advise on a mechanism that will bring peace to Zimbabwe and to deal with the transitional justice aspects, and the time frame is issues of violence before and after independence. So what we then did, the three of us, at that time Minister Gibson Swanda, at that time Minister John Komo, at that time myself, the three representing the different parties, adopted a grassroots-based, inclusive, consultative process around the country where we spoke with all the institutions, the traditional leaders, church and civil society, individuals, opinion leaders, Mashikiro, everybody. And we then used that data after 18 months to produce a strategic plan, which was transitional, which was transformational. Based on that, 18 months later, and with the support of two consultants, Rudochi Tiga, to produce the transitional plan, and Dr. Nyati to produce the policy, the principles for the establishment of an infrastructure for peace, based on the data we collected from the people. What went to the cabinet on Thursday was the policy document, the principles, and also the code of conduct, which is a voluntary document for and by political parties. So the next stage now is that the policy document and the principles are now going to go to the Attorney General's office, who draft bills that will then come back to the cabinet committee for drafting the bill and then back to the cabinet. And then whatever comes out of cabinet will go into the legislature. It will also go to civil society at the provincial level for people to interrogate the outcome. The incoming information will be incorporated and debated, and that's what will give us the Peace and Reconciliation Act, which will give birth to a national Peace and Reconciliation Council, which will be what is four men and four women, and they will have the ninth person as a chair to deal with all past grievances, issues of violence, and also to really address a proper national healing process based on what we have come up with.
On the issue of the code of conduct, you said earlier on that it's voluntary. But
it is voluntary.
But how binding is it when it comes to violence? And what will happen to offending political parties?
You know, Violet, you speak like a Zimbabwean who is reading a lot and sitting in town. We have a culture of cyclic political violence in Zimbabwe. The Global Political Agreement is a document that has come from the three political parties which had seats in parliament. So that there is a code of conduct for political parties which is voluntary is a new thing to get political parties to understand what they have committed themselves to. Because every party, every one of our political parties has a code of conduct of its own, which has got sanctions of dealing with the bad behavior from its members. That will remain applicable within political parties. But this code of conduct, which the three political parties have agreed on, is to get political parties to resolve their own conflicts through discussion and dialogue and agreement and consensus and consensus building. Issue as the organ, we leave it to political parties to regulate themselves using their own code of conduct.
So there is nothing right now that will deal with bad behavior in terms of the code of conduct?
There is. The tragedy about Zimbabwe is that all these things which are happening, there is no law which allows for them to happen. Do you know a law in Zimbabwe which allows for torture? There isn't one. In fact, we have a brilliant constitution. We have very good laws. But what is not there is the upholding of the rule of law. So the Global Political Agreement is a time when we set our goals to remind ourselves of what we should have been doing anyway. Let me say this. ZEC, the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, has got an electoral act which is in place during elections, which has got these binding things that you are asking about. It is there. But if you want people to really start thinking about peace building, you can't force them. They have to educate themselves through practice. to understand their obligations as political parties. That's what we in the organ decided we would do and try for Zimbabweans to understand how to do things on their own without something holding a whip over their head.
How do you respond to critics who say this is a waste of time as a solution to violence is to establish a non-partisan force?
The National Council, which is being set up, the Peace and Reconciliation Council, is going to establish different mechanisms of dealing with our culture of violence. And I myself believe that Zimbabwe does have men and women of principle who will be eligible to qualify to set this National Peace and Reconciliation Council. It's going to be an independent body of men and women who reflect the mood in Zimbabwe today, that the majority of Zimbabweans are sick and tired of cyclic political violence and of violence in any form. I believe that we have established such a body myself.
What about the police force? You yourself are a victim of police brutality. Where does the police force come in?
Yes, at a police station in broad daylight for 9 hours, yes. The police, the army, the intelligence organizations in Zimbabwe, you violate are living in the United States of America. The big contradiction is that in peacekeeping forces, which I prefer to call peacekeeping services, the Zimbabwean police and the Zimbabwean army are in big demand in areas where there's been conflict, like Timor-Leste, which is East Timor, Eastern Europe, inside Central Africa. The accolades of praise for the Zimbabwe army, the Zimbabwe police, are incredible. So what we need as Zimbabweans to do is to actually understand how the culture of excellence that Zimbabweans display when they are abroad, how is that actually harnessed to do the same domestically? I don't just translate this from the security sector only, which needs realignment here. What they do overseas well, they should do well at home.